Well, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination for a few moments and to imagine your dream home. And while you're at it, make it bigger, double it, make it taller, wider, more than you can even imagine. Think of a sprawling estate with a high wall and fence around it, perfectly safe. Lots of grounds that are immaculately kept, maybe a long swimming pool. Maybe it's in the mountains. You're on the side of a mountain in Colorado, or maybe you want your house by the water, on a lake or the ocean. Maybe you prefer a desert setting. But whatever it is, just imagine this wonderful place. Now, to be honest, a lot of us have gotten to the point in our lives where we're downsizing, and we don't want to take care of that. So if you wish, you can imagine a two-bedroom cottage with a nice little herb garden, all within walking distance of all your doctors. That would be good. So whatever it is that you're imagining, whatever house or estate that you have, then imagine that someone comes up to you and says, here are the keys. You can live there. No cost to you. We'll take care of all the servants and the upkeep. We'll even bring a chef to prepare your food. All you have to do is just walk in. Here are the keys. It is yours. And that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Unbelievable even. And yet, that is the invitation that God offers us each and every day. Here, God says, are the keys to my kingdom. You are welcome to come in anytime. Well, that's great. Why aren't we there? We all should be packed in the kingdom of God, living there. But we're not. Because, well, we're held back by something. We're prevented from taking the initiative to take those keys in hand and walk through the door. We're afraid. We're afraid of several things, not the least of which what we might have to give up or leave behind. Today, I want to take a moment and talk about God's generosity, the generosity of the kingdom, and the fears that keep us from it. And then look at how we might overcome those fears so that we might enjoy the gracious gifts of our Lord. Our reading today is from the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel. And before we get to our reading, it's important to establish the context of these words. So we need to look at what comes before. And what comes before is that Jesus is traveling. He's traveling and teaching, and it appears at this point people are flocking to hear him, to be near him. We are told they come by the thousands, and they are crushing one another in their urgency to get close to this man. And then one day, out of the crowd, comes a voice that shouts out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Well, this is rather disappointing, isn't it? You have someone who has the opportunity to ask Jesus anything at all, any question on theology or church history or the meaning of life, anything. And yet he asks this personal, financial, family conflict question. Tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Apparently, the father has died. The inheritance needs to be divided, and this person feels like he's not getting his fair share. Why does he ask Jesus this? Well, Jesus is a rabbi, traveling rabbi, and rabbis were viewed to have authority within the community, and I'm sure were brought in on many occasions to help sort out various issues. I know about this personally. I've had people ask me questions or to get involved with something to sort out their family issues. One time, long, long, long time ago, a mother called me up and asked me if I would talk to her son and get him to do his homework. I politely declined and said, "I think that's your job. I'll talk about God and spirituality and Y'all can get his homework situation sorted out. But anyway, this young man yells to Jesus about his inheritance, and Jesus responds with a parable, one of my favorite parables. We call it the parable of the rich fool. And the parable, as Jesus offers it, is about this man who is wealthy. He has a large house, has lots of possessions, and he's sitting in, I assume it's his den one night, and I imagine there's big leather chairs, a big fire in the fireplace. He's smoking a cigar, drinking his brandy, and he's reflecting on just how well he has done in life, how much he has. But he's also reflecting on the problem that despite the fact that his barns are full of grain, his fields are about to deliver a bumper harvest, and he doesn't have room for all that grain. So he's thinking, I've got to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Boy, what a great life I have. I am set for life. In fact, what he says in the parable, soul, he's talking to his soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. That's how he feels. He's got his, pretty much his life planned out. He's got his pension there to keep him going. Plenty of money, plenty of possessions. He's doing good until God interrupts. God says to him, you fool. This very night, your life is being demanded of you. In other words, you're going to die tonight. And God goes on to say, and the things you have prepared, who do you think that's going to go to? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. Yes, all that this man has collected, all that he's built up, well, it won't be any good to him once he's died. He spent all of his time building up treasures in this earth that he has no treasures with God. So he will have nothing to take with him. So this is a parable, the parable of the rich fool. And Jesus tells it to this young man who is more concerned about his inheritance than his place with God. Now we come to our reading, which is a little further along in chapter 12. And Jesus is now addressing just his disciples. He calls them his little flock as opposed to the large crowds that were out earlier. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In the parable, the man's worried about his possessions on earth, but here Jesus is telling his disciples that it's God's good pleasure, it's God's will. God will give you the kingdom gladly, wants to give you a place in that kingdom. God offers us the abundant life of his kingdom. He does it freely and gladly. But we're not taking it, are we? We're not accepting this gift. And why? Well, one reason is fear. Fear is preventing us from receiving the kingdom. Now, God doesn't just offer us a place in this kingdom. God doesn't say, hey, come in, find a place, enjoy. God actually offers us the authority to access the kingdom. We talk about keys to the kingdom. Spoiler, there are no keys. The door's open. The door's unlocked. All we have to do is walk through. But we're not even doing that. We don't even need the keys. As Jesus says in another place, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The kingdom is there if we place God first in our lives. That's all we have to do. God will provide. God will give. Think of the manna in the wilderness. Think of the promise of daily bread. God is there giving us what we need, and that includes a place in the kingdom. In our reading today, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God's joy, very joy, is in giving us this gift. The kingdom is not some future promise. It's not something we're going to claim in the afterlife. The kingdom is here and it is now. It is a present reality that is available to us. In Scripture, we talk about eternal life. Eternal life is what people seek. It's not life ever after. It is the life here and now. Eternal life describes a righteous life with God at its center. When we have God in the center of our lives, that is a paradise on earth. But yet, we are not taking it. And it comes back to our fears. And in this reading, Jesus offers us two examples of such fears, the fears that keep us from the kingdom. The first is the fear of giving up, not giving up as in quitting, but giving up our possessions. Later on in Luke, Jesus has an encounter with the man we call the rich ruler, the man who comes to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus tells him, he asks, "What do the scriptures tell you?" And the man cites the scriptures about how to follow the commandments, and Jesus says, "All right, great." And the man says, "I've done all that." And Jesus says, "Well, what you need to do now, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven, and then you can come and follow me." And the man couldn't do it, could he? He became very sad and walked away because he was very wealthy. He had all of his possessions. He had his wealth. He had his power. He had his place in the community. And he could not give that up in order to follow Christ and have eternal life. The eternal life that he sought. It was right there. And he couldn't do it. He was offered the greatest gift, but he was unable to let go of what we will call temporary wealth, the wealth of this world. So the question is, what is it that we're holding on to? What is it that's holding us back? Is it our money, our status, our reputation, our very comfort? And do we confuse these things with true security, the security that comes from God? In our reading today, Jesus tells the disciples, "Sell your possessions and give alms," very much like what he tells the rich ruler. "Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes and no moth destroys." Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves, purses that don't hold gold and coins and the things of this world, but purses that are designed to hold what is valuable to God. It might be our love, our compassion, our caring nature. These are the things that should be in these purses, these special purses, filled with treasure that doesn't wear out, treasure that's not going to be stolen, treasure that a moth can't eat up. How many times have we opened the closet, pulled out a sweater, and discovered the moths got there ahead of us? This treasure is immune from that. So the question we have is, what is it that we're holding on to? What treasures of this world are we holding on to that don't allow us to accept the treasures of God? Our fear is holding us back. A second fear is the fear of being watchful, the fear of being alert. That's a strange thing to say. But in the reading, Jesus tells his disciples, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks." Be ready, be dressed, always be prepared for what might happen And he uses the example of servants who are at home. The master has gone to a wedding banquet. And wedding banquets in those days might last several days. And oftentimes, the attendees of the wedding banquet might leave for hours and go home and rest up, change clothes, go back. The servants aren't going to assume that the master is going to be gone a certain length of time. They should be there waiting for that person to come home, to attend to them. Our fear of not waiting, which is hard to do, waiting and watching is difficult, it's time consuming, it can be exhausting, but it means we've put God at the center of our lives. We are watching for God in our lives, and when we're not doing that, not watching, not being alert, well, that can lead to, we'll call it a spiritual laziness, and we become complacent. We have God in the wrong place in our lives. We're not actively ready and waiting for God to move in our lives and in this world. And if for some reason God should appear and we're not ready, we'll be caught off guard. We might miss the opportunity. So we always need to be alert, to be watchful. Now, it would be nice to think that we could just walk into the kingdom on our own. I mean, God is there, God has opened the doors, God has invited us in. But to be honest, we don't have the strength. We don't have the ability to do it on our own. Christ came to us to teach us the way, to show us the way, to help us gain entrance to that kingdom. But there's still things holding us back. And the only way that we are going to get into that kingdom is to be honest with ourselves and with God about our fears and be able to set these aside. And the best way to do that is through confession. To confess our sins, to confess our fears, to be honest about who we are and what we consider most important in our lives. Confession is an act of trust. It acknowledges our weakness. And it invites God's strength to come into our lives and replace that weakness. So when we're able to confess to God, to open up our hearts, then we are opening the door to the kingdom. True strength in God isn't about overcoming our fears on our own power. True strength means placing our trust entirely with God. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he writes this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Our God promises peace, not an absence of fear, but the peace which overcomes that fear. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. That is what we are seeking. This peace that God offers, the peace which changes our hearts and enables us to walk through the doors into the kingdom. So, to wrap this up, it is clear that God offers us a place in the kingdom. The door is open. It's there for our taking, but we're held back by our fears. We hold on to what is temporary. We live in complacency. We become lazy, but we need to rely on the strength of God to lift us up, to carry us over that threshold. And so I ask you this week to look into your lives and ask yourself, what is it that's holding me back? What is it that I fear? What is it that I want? What is it that's temporary in my life that I can do without and replace that with the eternal nature of God? Where is it that I'm sleeping when I should be awake? Ask yourself these questions. and be honest with your answers. Pray to God, talk to God, but most of all, listen to God and ask God to forgive us of our fears and make us strong so that together we can enter God's holy kingdom. Amen.